Welcome to Results Driven with Kurt High from High Value Consulting. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Results Driven is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now let's get started with Results Driven.
Hello and welcome to Results Driven. My name is Kurt J. High from my company, High Value Consulting. If you'd like more information about what you hear today during our show today, give us a call at 484-431-2874, or you may visit us online at my new improved website, highvalueconsulting.org. And while at my website, click on the radio page and check out past shows and subscribe to our programs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. If you have a traditional IRA, you probably spend a good amount of your time thinking how to build it up, contributions, investment choices, compound growth over time. But there's another side of that conversation that does not always get much attention, and that's how and when you actually take out the money. Because it turns out that's the decisions you make about withdrawals can matter just as much, if not more, about what while we were saving. The timing, the amounts, and the sequence of all this has the potential to affect your tax bill, your Medicare premiums, your Social Security benefits, and ultimately how far your savings will go. Today, we're going to walk through seven things everyone with a traditional IRA should understand about withdrawals. I'm joined by my co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill, who helps keep these conversations practical and grounded. Hello, Jacqueline. How are you?
Well, good morning, Kurt. And, you know, I just have to share with our listeners. Our listeners are probably wondering, we have not had a new show in a little bit, just a few weeks. And Kurt, I mean, how are you doing? I maybe explain what you want to our listeners, because everyone's kind of eager. Where's Kurt? What is he up to?
Hey, I had a little bit of a setback and had some, surgery. And it was unplanned. It was unexpected. But the doctor and surgeons did great job. It put me kind of down for about a month. But I'm back at it. I'm back in my lane. And I'm glad I listened to my body and yes. Caught it in time before anything terminally happened. But I'm glad it's over. That's all I can say.
Yes. So. Great point. And me too. I mean, I have missed you. I've missed our banter and our conversations on a weekly basis. And, you know, it's so great to have you back. And I can just see it in your face that you're feeling better. And, you know, that first phone call I got, man, I was a little scared. I was like, Kurt, is he going to be okay? But now look at you. I mean, you are fantastic. You sound fantastic. You look good. So listeners, we are back.
Yes, we're back. And I missed you too, Jacqueline. I missed our Monday 10 a.m. Shows. And they absolutely, I was looking forward to reconnecting and getting started. So
yes. Here
we're back at it. And let's get the job done.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Kurt, I really like this topic. You know, this is a topic where the details really do matter. I mean, the IRA withdrawals. And I'm so glad that we're spending time on it today. You know, a lot of people understand the basics of how an IRA works on the savings side. We're talking about traditional IRAs here. The rules around withdrawals are where things get a little more nuanced or really just complicated.
Jacqueline, that's exactly right. And we're going to try to make these nuances as clear as possible. The source we're drawing from today is in the U.S. News and World Report article titled, Seven Things to Know About Withdrawing Money from a Traditional IRA. Let's go through them one at a time. The first thing to understand is that withdrawing too early comes with a cost. The government imposes a 10% penalty or tax penalty on the money withdrawn from a traditional IRA before age 59 and a half. And that penalty is on top of the ordinary income taxes you also will owe with that withdrawal.
Great point, Kurt. So it's not just the 10%. it's 10% plus your tax rate.
Jacqueline, exactly. The article gives a useful illustration. For someone in the 12% tax bracket, taking an early withdrawal can mean losing close to a quarter of the amount between the penalty and the taxes owed. That's a significant hit on your money that was supposed to be growing for retirement. Now, that 10% penalty exists for a reason. It's designed to discourage people from tapping into their retirement savings before retirement. And as a general principle, it sounds, but there are exceptions. And we'll come back to those later in the show.
Well, is there a rule of thumb for when an early withdrawal might actually make sense despite the cost or kind of the penalties here, Kurt?
Jacqueline, that's a question worth asking because there are specific situations where the math could work out, like a genuine financial emergency, for example. Well, the alternative is a high interest debt or credit card or something like that. But I encourage anyone in that situation to look at all the options that confront you first. A 10% penalty on top of income tax is a steep price. And once that money is out of the account, you lose the compounding that would have helped on it for the rest of your retirement. And that's a cost that doesn't show up in the withdrawal slip, but it is very real over time.
Well, Kurt, what's the flip side of that then? I mean, what happens if someone waits too long to do this?
That's the second thing. It's one I think catches people off guard. While taking withdrawals too early is costly, waiting too long has its drawbacks. Everything comes out of a traditional IRA is 100% taxable as ordinary income. So ideally, you want to time your withdrawals for lower income years when you're in a lower tax bracket. And for a lot of people, the early years of retirement represent exactly that window. Income may have dropped, you are not yet drawing Social Security, and there's an opportunity to take distributions at a lower tax rate than you might face later.
Well, Kurt, is that also when Roth conversions tend to make maybe the most sense for some people?
It can be. A Roth conversion means taking money out of your traditional IRA, paying taxes on it now, moving it into a Roth where it can grow tax-free, and the future qualified withdrawals come out tax-free. The article specifically cites ages 55 to 65 as a sweet spot for that kind of conversion. The reasoning is by that point, children have been grown, they're out of the house, there may be additional flexibility in the budget to cover the taxes on the converted amount, and you're still far enough from the required minimum distributions that you have time to let the Roth account grow higher. It's also worth noting that withdrawing from a traditional IRA before age 70 can be a way to delay claiming Social Security. For every year you wait past your full retirement age up to age 70, your benefit may increase approximately 8% per year. So using IRA funds as a bridge while you delay Social Security is a strategy worth understanding.
Absolutely, Kurt. Well, before we go further, I just want to take a quick pause and remind our listeners how they can reach out with questions.
Absolutely, Jacqueline. They can give me a call, my direct dial. I am more than available now than ever, 484-431-2874. Or they can visit us online at our new improved website by Lucent Media at highvalueconsulting.org. Scheduling a consultation only takes a few minutes, and we're always happy to work around your current schedule.
Well, thank you, Kurt. Now, let's keep going with today's conversation. I know that we have so much to unpack here. So what's the third thing that people need to know?
The third thing, and one of the more important ones, too, is the required minimum distributions, or in our industry, RMDs. Once you turn 73, the IRS requires you to begin taking annual withdrawals from your traditional IRA, whether you want to or not. The reason is straightforward. The money in a traditional IRA has never been taxed, and the government doesn't allow that to continue indefinitely. Missing an RMD or required minimum distribution carries a significant penalty. Under current laws, failing to take the required amount can result in a tax penalty equal to 25% of the distribution you were supposed to take. That's not a small number.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that is a large tax penalty. So equal to 25% of the distribution. Wow. And Kurt, does the RMD amount change depending on maybe how much you have in the account?
Jacqueline, it does. The RMD is calculated each year based on your account balance, your life expectancy factor from the IRS tables. The more money in the account, the larger the required withdrawal or RMD. The one reason why making strategic withdrawals or conversions in the years before 73 can be very valuable over time. The more you reduced the balance before RMDs begin, the smaller those required withdrawals tend to be, and they lower the associated tax bill or tax hit. The article also makes an important note here that money converted to a Roth IRA doesn't count as an RMD. So if you're converting in advance of age 73, that's reducing your future RMD exposure, not satisfying it.
Yes. So basically, what you're saying, Kurt, is someone who retires at 65 and maybe has 8 years before RMDs kick in, they could use that window strategically.
Yes, you got it. If the income drops significantly in those early retirement years, the gap can be an opportunity to convert portions of the traditional IRA to a Roth at a lower tax rate than you might have faced during your working years. It takes some planning to do it well because you just don't want to convert so much in a single year that you push yourself into the higher tax bracket or trigger higher Medicare premiums. But the window is real, and for the right person in the right situation, it can be very meaningful.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I like the sounds of that. Kurt, what is the fourth point to this conversation?
This one is practically useful for people who are charitably inclined. If you are at least 70 and a half or older, you have the option to make what's called a qualified charitable distribution, or a QCD. That's when you direct money from your IRA straight to a qualified charity, and that's up to $110,000 per year. And I have several clients that do that. The money goes directly from the IRA to the charity, thus bypassing you entirely. And here's the valuable part. A QCD, or qualified charitable donation, can satisfy your RMD requirement for that year. Because the money goes directly to the charity, not to you, it may not be taxable at all. So this could reduce your adjusted gross income in a very meaningful way.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. And I like that because, you know, it's really just the strategy behind where the money is and where it goes to maybe prevent that taxes. So instead of taking the RMDs, you know, paying taxes on it and then donating the remainder of it, you know, you skip the whole taxable step entirely and you just move straight into it.
That's the idea. It's a cleaner and potentially more tax efficient way to give for those who are already planning to donate or are charitably inclined. If it's not for everyone, but for the people who are charitably motivated and facing required minimum distributions, it's a tool worth knowing about and looking into. I have clients that have built IRAs up that are significant. I'm talking millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And when I sat down and run financial plans for these people, I showed them how they can actually donate $110,000 a year the rest of their life, and they'll never run out of money. And they couldn't believe me. So I ran through the software, showed them just a simple rate of return. They've done so well over the years in the market that they can literally donate to churches or charities. Or one of my clients is a teacher. She wants to give back to the school, but she was unaware that that was an option and how it works with her required minimum distribution, but she can actually donate that kind of funds and that kind of money. And it really is a wonderful tool, because if you're not going to use the money, and why pay the taxes if someone else can use it And it's a win-win situation for both you and for the charity.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad that you shared that. So if you think as a listener that that might be applicable to you, you know, check with your financial advisor or give Kurt a call. Let's talk about Medicare, because I know that this is a topic that I know there's a lot of questions surrounding it. And so that's the fifth point, right, Kurt?
It is. And this is one that surprises a lot of people. IRA withdrawals count as income. And if your income crosses certain thresholds, your Medicare Part B premium goes up. This is called IRMA, which stands for Income-Related Monthly Adjustment Amounts. In 2026, the standard Part B premium is $202.90 per month. But if your modified adjusted gross income exceeds $109,000 as an individual or $218,000 for a married couple filing jointly, you'll pay more. The article notes that monthly premiums can range from $284.10 up to $689.90, depending on your income level. That's a wide spread, and a large IRA withdrawal in a given year could push someone into that higher IRMA tier.
Yes, and there's a timing wrinkle there too, right, Kurt? I feel like we need to point out something.
There is. Medicare looks back 2 years when setting premium levels. That means your 2024 income tax determines whether you pay a higher premium in 2026. A larger than usual IRA withdrawal in 1 year can have a ripple effect on your Medicare costs for 2 years down the road. That's a connection worth understanding when you're thinking through the withdrawal timing.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we're looking at 2027, let's say, they're really looking at your income for 2025. Great thing to point out there. Kurt, a single large withdrawal in 1 year could have consequences that potentially stretch out 2 or 3 years down the road, is what you're saying.
Yeah, Jacqueline, it can. And that's exactly why looking at withdrawals in isolation, just asking, what do I need this year, can lead to decisions that cost more than needed to. The more useful frame is to look at projected income across several years at once and ask where the low-cost windows are. That kind of multi-year income planning is one of the things a financial service professional can be generally useful for. Because of the interactions between an IRA withdrawal, Social Security, and Medicare premiums are hard to model without layering them all together.
Well, what about the sixth point now, which is Social Security, which I also think there's a lot of questions surrounding this one, too.
Jacqueline, there is more than you can imagine. This one is also easy to underestimate. The Social Security Administration uses a figure called combined income to determine how much of your benefit is subject to income tax. Combined income is calculated by adding your adjusted gross income, any non-taxable interest, and half of your Social Security benefits. The article frames it simply, every $100 you take from an IRA is treated like $100 of earned income. That means a large IRA withdrawal can push your combined income above the thresholds that trigger Social Security taxation.
Oof. Well, and I'm noticing a theme here, taxes. So walk us through maybe those thresholds that you're talking about within the Social Security triggers.
Jacqueline, for a single filer, once combined income exceeds $25,000, up to 50% of Social Security benefits could be subject to income tax. Above $34,000, up to 85% of the benefits can be taxable. For married couples filing jointly, those thresholds are $32,000 and $44,000, respectively. These numbers have not been updated for inflation in a long time, which means they capture more people than they once did. This is another reason why thinking strategically about the size and timing of IRA withdrawals can matter beyond just the immediate tax bill.
Absolutely. Well, before we go on to our final point here, Kurt, you know, let's remind listeners just one more time how they can get connected with you. I mean, there's a lot that we're unpacking here. Social Security and, you know, taxes and Medicare. I mean, those are kind of the three that confuse me a little bit. But you really just can break it down so easily for us. So why don't you remind our listeners one more time how they can connect with you?
Of course, it's anything. If anything we talked about today has raised questions about your own personal situation or your own IRA strategy, we'd love to sit down with you. Call us at 484-431-2874 or visit our new improved website, highvalueconsulting.org, to schedule a complimentary consultation. We're always happy to have a closer look at your specific situation and give you the information to make the right intelligent decisions.
Well, thank you, Kurt. Now, as we continue, you know, there has to be some exceptions to any rules, right? So, Kurt, the seventh point, I mean, this one is about the early withdrawal exceptions, which is more of a positive note.
Bingo. And this is worth knowing, even if you're not planning to use it, because life doesn't always go according to plan, as I can testify. While the government imposes a 10% penalty on early IRA withdrawals, there are specific circumstances where the penalty doesn't apply. The article lists several. The first time home buyer or first time home purchase is one of the more commonly used exceptions. Up to $10,000 can be withdrawn penalty free for a qualified first time home purchase. Other exemptions include permanent disability that leaves you unable to work, a terminal illness diagnosis, unreimbursed medical expenses above a certain threshold, higher education expenses, health insurance premiums paid during a period of unemployment, and qualified birth or adoption expenses up to $5,000.
Oh, but the question that I have here is, income taxes still apply even with the exceptions, right, Kurt?
That's correct. That's an important distinction. The exceptions eliminate the 10% penalty, but they do not eliminate the income tax on the withdrawal. You'll still owe ordinary income tax on the amount you take out. The penalty is waived. The tax is not. There's also one more option worth mentioning, which is IRS Rule 72T. This allows you to take what you're called substantially equal periodic payments from your IRA before 59 and a half without triggering the early withdrawal penalty. These payments are calculated based on the life expectancy and must follow specific IRS approved methods. The key caveat is that once you start the 72T distribution schedule, you generally cannot change it until age 59 and a half or until 5 years have passed, whatever comes later. Modifying the schedule after begins can result in a retroactive penalties being applied. The artist's guidance is clear. If you're considering this route, do it with the help of a financial services professional.
Good point. There's a lot of moving pieces to keep track of. And so having a financial professional in your corner could really do some good in all of this. But Kurt, what's your overall takeaway from today's conversation? I mean, what should we leave with our listeners to remember?
I think the big picture is this. Traditional IRA is one of the most powerful savings tools available, but the rules around withdrawals are more layered than most people realize or understand. When you take distributions, how much you take, what else is going to go into your financial picture at that time, all these things interact in the ways can either cost you or benefit you. The decisions don't have to be overwhelming, but they do benefit from planning. Understanding the penalties thresholds, the RMD rules, the charitable distribution options, and the ripple effect on Medicare and Social Security are the starting points. Building a strategy around all them is the next step.
Yes, great point. You know, you just have to start somewhere. You create a habit, it has a ripple effect or a snowball effect or however you want to put it, but just starting somewhere and having a guide to help you along the way. And I think what today's conversation made clear is that the answer to this question isn't just about you know, investment returns or the account balances. You know, it's truly about the income management and honestly, tax management.
I think that's right. A traditional IRA isn't a set it and forget it account when it comes to withdrawals. The government has built a specific set of rules around when money comes out, how much has to come out, and what happens if you don't follow those rules. Understanding them isn't optional. It's part of managing the overall retirement income picture as well. And here's what I want every listener to take away from today. The strategies we talked about work best when they've planned in advance. Planning is key. The Roth conversion window, the pre-RMD or required minimum distribution drawdown strategy, delaying Social Security while using IRA funds as a bridge. The QCD or qualified charitable donation for people with RMDs or required minimum distributions who are also charitably inclined, none of these are last minute moves. They require a total view of your income across multiple years, ideally before in the middle of the decision with a deadline attached to it.
And I want to go back to that last point that you just said, Kurt. You know, the time to think through your IRA withdrawal strategy. Hold on. I just want to go back. Strategy. There's a reason why I say that. You know, but the time to think through this strategy is before you need to make a withdrawal, not after. What we like to always say, Kurt, is prepare, not react.
That's the message. And it doesn't require having everything figured out perfectly. It just requires having the conversation, sitting down with a financial service professional who can look at your full picture and take a snapshot in time, including your accounts, your expected income sources, your Social Security timing, and your Medicare situation. And that's a conversation we're glad to have. From today's show, raises any questions about your own IRA or your broader retirement income, you can give us a call at 484-431-2874 or visit us online at my website, highvalueconsulting.org. We can take a look at where things stand, talk you through, walk you through the options that'd be available to you, and give you all the information to make the right intelligent decisions.
Thank you, Kurt. That is so important to consult a financial advisor that you can walk through options. Because like you just said, Kurt, with that story, they didn't know it was an option. And it's so important to just know your options before making a choice. And there's nothing wrong with learning more. You can never learn too much, right? That's what we like to say.
And the other thing I found in my career is that there's a lot of people that they left an employer and their pension shut down and the employer rolled into an IRA. I had a gentleman who said, hey, I found two IRAs. I didn't know I had. So there's a lot of strategies that do exist that a lot of people are not aware of.
Well, and I do want to dig deeper into that in another episode because, you know, Kurt, I think that we should do an episode on Roth conversions next and how that might be applicable to you. So before we go, I mean, thank you so much, Kurt. I know I'm so glad that you're feeling better and you're able to do this show again. And thank you to everyone who joined us today. You know, whether you're years away from retirement or maybe already in it, understanding how your IRA works on the withdrawal side is one of the most valuable things that you can do for your financial future. So until next time, Kurt, that does it for this episode of Results Driven with our host, Kurt J. High.
Thank you for joining us for Results Driven. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Kurt High at High Value Consulting at 484-431-2874 or visit highvalueconsulting.org. Join us again soon for another episode of Results Driven.
Investment advisory services are offered through Virtue Capital Management, an SEC registered investment advisor. High Value Consulting and VCM are independent of each other.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.